Welcome to the Next Steps Bible Reading Podcast. We're in the book of 1 John today. So if you start at the end of Revelation, then you got Jude, 3 John, 2 John, and 1 John. We'll be reading 1 John chapters 1 to 3, taking devotional pauses, thinking of some application at the end, and then closing in prayer. I want to encourage you to do that right along with me. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for 1 John. And I pray that as we read through these first three chapters, we would get a sense of the importance of truly living out our faith and not just talking about it. In Jesus' name, amen. Chapter 1. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked at and our hands have touched, this we proclaim concerning the word of life. The life appeared. We have seen it and testified to it, and we proclaim to you the eternal life which was with the Father and has appeared to us. We proclaim to you what we have seen and heard, so that you also may have fellowship with us. And our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. We write this to make our joy complete. This is the message we have heard from him and declared to you. God is light. In him there is no darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship with him and yet walk in darkness, we lie and do not live out the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, purifies us from all sin. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just, and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. If we claim we have not sinned, we make him out to be a liar, and his word is not in us. That's the end of chapter 1. We need to know as it begins kind of like the Gospel of John began with the introduction of who Jesus was, his incarnation, that this book is really focused on how what we do really demonstrates what we believe and not the other way around. Chapter 2. My dear children, I write this to you so that you will not sin. But if anybody does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. He is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not only for ours, but also for the sins of the whole world. We know that we have come to know him if we keep his commands. Whoever says, I know him, but does not do what he commands is a liar, and the truth is not in that person. But if anyone obeys his word, love for God is truly made complete in them. This is how we know we are in him. Whoever claims to live in him must live as Jesus did. Dear friends, I'm not writing you a new command, but an old one, which you have had since the beginning. This old command is the message you have heard. Yet I'm writing you a new command. Its truth is seen in him and in you, because the darkness is passing and the true light is already shining. Anyone who claims to be in the light and hates a brother or sister is still in the darkness. Anyone who loves their brother and sister lives in the light, and there is nothing in them to make them stumble. But anyone who hates a brother or sister is in the darkness and walks around in the darkness. They do not know where they are going because the darkness has blinded them. I'm writing to you, dear children, because your sins have been forgiven on account of his name. I'm writing to you, fathers, because you know him who is from the beginning. I'm writing to you, young men, because you've overcome the evil one. I write to you, dear children, because you know the Father. I write to you, fathers, because you know him who is from the beginning. I write to you, young men, because you are strong and the word of God lives in you, and you have overcome the evil one. Do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, love for the Father is not in them. For everything in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, comes not from the Father, but from the world. The world and its desires pass away, but whoever does the will of God lives forever. You have to put this in the context of all the rest of the scripture. That if you have truly trusted in Jesus Christ alone for salvation and are a believer, your eternity is secured. But 1 John is focusing more on, don't say that you love God if you don't actually love him and love others. Don't say you love God if you don't live for him. He takes away all the excuses that people might say, well, I said a prayer when I was a kid. I don't have to live for him now. And 1 John is basically saying, if you're a true believer, that's not your attitude. Verse 18. Dear children, this is the last hour, and as you've heard that the Antichrist is coming, even now many Antichrists have come. This is how we know it is the last hour. They went out from us, but they did not really belong to us. For if they had belonged to us, they would have remained with us, but their going showed that none of them belonged to us. But you have an anointing from the Holy One, and all of you know the truth. I do not write to you because you do not know the truth, but because you do know it, and because no lie comes from the truth. Who is the liar? It is whoever denies that Jesus is the Christ. Such a person is the Antichrist, denying the Father and the Son. No one who denies the Son has the Father. Whoever acknowledges the Son has the Father also. As for you, see that what you have heard from the beginning remains in you. If it does, you also will remain in the Son and in the Father, and this is what he promised us, eternal life. I am writing these things to you about those who are trying to lead you astray. As for you, the anointing you receive from him remains in you, and you do not need anyone to teach you. But as his anointing teaches you about all things, and that anointing is real, not counterfeit, just as it has taught you, remain in him. And now, dear children, continue in him, so that when he appears, we may be confident and unashamed before him at his coming. If you know that he is righteous, you know that everyone who does what is right has been born of him. Again, got to put this all into the context of eternal security and in the context of the Holy Spirit is in true believers and teaches us, and yet God uses other teachers to help us understand and to live out the truths. So put this all in the whole biblical context, chapter 3. See what great love the Father has lavished on us that we should be called the children of God. And that is what we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know him. Dear friends, now we are children of God, and what we will be has not yet been made known. But we know that when Christ appears, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. All who have this hope in him purify themselves just as he is pure. Everyone who sins breaks the law. In fact, sin is lawlessness. But you know that he appeared so that he might take away our sins, and in him is no sin. No one who lives in him keeps on sinning. No one who continues to sin has either seen him or known him. Dear children, do not let anyone lead you astray. The one who does what is righteous, just as he is righteous. The one who does not, the one who does what is sinful is of the devil, because the devil has been sinning from the beginning. The reason the Son of God appeared and was to destroy the works of the devil. No one who is born of God will continue to sin because God's seed remains in them. They cannot go on sinning because they have been born of God. Now put that into context with the first several verses of 1 John that say, if you say you do not sin, you're a liar. Okay, put that in that context. Anyone who does not do what is right is not God's child, nor anyone who does not love their brother or sister. So don't be legalistic on what he's trying to say, because that's not the idea he's trying to get across. You sin once, you obviously are not saved. Verse 11, for this is the message you heard from the beginning, we should love one another. Do not be like Cain, who belonged to the evil one and murdered his brother. And why did he murder him? Because his own actions were evil and his brothers were righteous. Do not be surprised, my brothers and sisters, if the world hates you. We know what we have passed from death to life because we love one another. Anyone who does not love remains in death. Anyone who hates a brother or sister is a murderer, and you know that no murderer has eternal life residing in him. This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters. If anyone has material possessions and sees a brother or sister in need, but has no pity on them, how can the love of God be in that person? Dear children, let us not love with words or speech, but with actions and in truth. This is how we know that we belong to the truth and how we set our hearts at rest in his presence. If our hearts condemn us, we know that God is greater than our hearts and he knows everything. Dear friends, if our hearts do not condemn us, we have confidence before God and receive from him anything we ask, because we keep his commands and do what pleases him. And this is his command, to believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and to love one another as he commanded us. The one who keeps God's commands lives in him and he in them. And this is how we know that he lives in us. We know it by the Spirit he gave us. So you got to put all these things in its own context and its biblical context. He says, you know that you're in God if you do the right thing. But he also says, you know, because the Spirit lives in you and helps you to know. He says you need to obey his commands if you're a true believer. And then in verse 23 of chapter 3, he says, and this is his command, to believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ. So that's where it starts, right? And then the second greatest commandment, as Jesus says back in the Gospels, love your neighbor as yourself. So he says it here, love one another as he commanded us. That's the end of chapter 3 and the end of our reading for today. So what do we do with this? It's not to lead you to depression or discouragement or doubt. It could lead to a self-evaluation if you're truly one of His and wanting to honor Him. But what sticks out to me, I think it's in chapter 2. Yep. 1 John 2:6. Whoever claims to live in Him must live as Jesus did. That's not saying live where Jesus did or with His financial situation or doing the miracles or a lot of those things. I think it's what it's saying is you need to be like Christ. That's why we were saved, to be like Christ. You're not going to do it perfectly, but if you're a Christ follower, then you follow. I think that's the basic message of 1 John. So I take from this that I want to just focus on being more like Christ. I can't be perfect. I'm not going to pretend I'm not sinning. Beginning of 1 John says that. I'm going to confess my sins. I'm going to be forgiven of my sins. And I'm going to walk with Him in fellowship. What about you? Father, thank You for Your word. And I pray, Father, as I take in 1 John, that I will remember that it's about living out the faith that I do have. And although I have eternal security, right now, Father, I need to live in that light. I need to live like Jesus. So help me to be more like Your Son, as You promised to do. And help me to make it all about You. In Jesus' name, amen.